If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, go with me tonight to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Tonight's passage encompasses the entire span of our lives. It begins with creation. It ends with judgment. There is something in this passage for young and old alike. And that's the title of the message tonight, young and old alike. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 7. Truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou, for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. And we'll stop there for now. The preacher has advice in this passage for the young and old alike. In verse 8, he tells the old man to rejoice in all of his years, but remember the days of darkness. In verse 9, he tells the young man to rejoice in his youth, but to remember that there's a judgment coming. Then in chapter 12 and verse 1, he sums it all up by saying, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Whether you are young or old, the way to rejoice in the season of life you're in is to remember your Creator. Now to us, remembering is just about memory. And if that's what you think of in this verse, I don't think you have the right idea. It has the idea of commitment and involvement. If I could say it this way, when Solomon talks about remembering God, he's talking about living a God-centered life. To have a Copernican revolution. You remember that in history, don't you? When Copernicus discovered that it was not the sun revolving around the earth, but the earth revolving around the sun. To remember God means to have a Copernican revolution in your life. If you're young, it's recognizing that the solar system of life does not revolve around the pleasures of youth. If you're old, it's remembering that the solar system of life does not revolve around the pains of growing older. Remembering God is putting God in His proper place, right smack dab in the middle of all of it. Amen. And putting yourself in your proper place. And unless God has His proper place, nothing in your life will ever have its proper place. Right. We must live a God-centered life. He says, if you really want to rejoice in life, whether you're young or you're old, if you really want to rejoice in life, you have to remember God. Let's work our way through the passage. We'll make several applications as we go tonight. In the first few verses, verses 7 and 8, we're given a prescription for aging. And if there's anything an older person is familiar with, it's a prescription. Solomon gives every elderly person a prescription. Here it is. Take a dose of youthful optimism daily. Don't let your experience with the dark and difficult things in life steal your ability to enjoy the legitimate pleasures of life. Don't stop enjoying life just because you're getting older. He says in verse 7, if you're older, enjoy a good sunrise. You might as well. You're probably up using the restroom anyway, right? Take a walk in the park. Go to a baseball game. Have a bowl of ice cream. Take some time to play with friends. If I could paraphrase verse 7, it would be simply this. Stay on the sunny side of life. Yeah. Can I tell you this? Remembering God is the key to staying on the sunny side of life. Amen. You know, every legitimate pleasure you have enjoyed in your life was a gift from the good hand of God. Isn't that what James says? Every good and perfect gift cometh down from above. Jesus said, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven give good gifts to them that ask Him? Do you know tonight that God loves to give His children good gifts? Have you ever thought about it this way? The older you are, the more gifts you've received from the Lord. My parents must love me more because I have received more gifts from them than my brother and sister have. I'm the oldest and I had a 2-year head start on them. Think about it this way. The longer we live, the longer we enjoy the grace and generosity of our Creator. Who was it that made ice cream taste so sweet? It was God. I'm almost 40 years old, and it's just as sweet today as it was the day that I first tasted it, and I got hooked then, and I'm hooked now. Who made sunrises and sunsets so beautiful? Who blessed us with the capacity to laugh and to love and to enjoy relationship? Life is filled with sunny days and good gifts from God. It's up to us to enjoy them. And even our senior years, as difficult as those years may be, are laded down with the blessings of God. His goodness and mercy follows us even then. You say, well, I don't feel as good as I used to feel. All the more reason to enjoy the health and strength that you do have. I've lost some people that I love. All the more reason to cherish the people that are left. Solomon reminds us in verses 7 and 8 that we can either dwell in the darkness or live in the light. The choice is up to us. And God always makes sure in every season of life that there are plenty of blessings to enjoy. Now, verse 8 seems to be a real downer at first. It seems like Solomon is saying, enjoy the sunny days, but not too much, because the dark days are coming. That's really not what he's saying. He's reminding us of the fallenness of the world we live in. We don't live in Disney. We live in Fort Worth. There is a difference. And every day will have its share of pleasure and pain, sweet and bitter, light and darkness. And the older you get, the more experience you get in those things. The point that Solomon's making in verse 8 is that dark nights should only increase our appreciation for sunny days. Think about it. The bitter times in life actually enhance our enjoyment of the sweet times. Yeah. Let me ask you, who enjoys a sunny day more? A person who lives in Phoenix or a person who lives in Seattle? A person who lives in Phoenix can take a sunny day for granted, but not a person who lives in Seattle. When they get a day of nice weather, they make the most out of it, right? And Solomon is reminding us that a real Christian rejoices, but he does so realistically. He's had enough dark times in life to really appreciate the sunny days. So because of the bitter things, because of the difficult things, enjoy the good days. There is sweetness in this world. Don't take it for granted. Can I just say this to those of you who would label yourselves as senior citizens? Don't become a grumpy old man or a grumpy old woman. Moses said, I've been young and now I'm old, but I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Amen. Moses said, I've gotten to the end of my life and I recognize God is good. The psalmist said, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in an old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Maybe all the ice cream, I don't know. To show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. If you're older, greet each sunrise as if it were more precious than the one before. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. A prescription for the older, inject some sunshine into your life. All right, next we notice a proverb for the young. Look at verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes, but know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Mark that. Rejoice, O young man. If you're a young person and hear this is good news, God wants you to enjoy it. He wants you to rejoice in your youth. I like what one commentator said. He said, the call to rejoice is not just for the elderly, but also for the young. While old people are to praise God for the length of their days, young people are to praise God for the strength of their days. I think a lot of young people have the wrong idea about God. They think he's some cranky old man up in heaven who can't wait for them to just grow up. Or if he doesn't want them to grow up, he surely doesn't want them to enjoy themselves while they're young. Nothing could be further from the truth. And this passage is proof positive. He says, rejoice in your youth. Let your heart cheer you. In other words, let your heart be glad. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. In other words, relish every moment of being young. Run a race while you can. Hit that baseball while you can still see it. Dream big. Take big risks. Rejoice in your youth, Solomon says. As you're doing it, however, don't forget God. Because God will bring you into judgment for everywhere your feet take you. in everything your eyes see. You know, young people, and especially teenagers, are famous for leaping first and looking second. I heard one person describe a teenager as a person with a Lamborghini brain with no brakes. They have the bodies and the urges of adults, but not the brains in good sense. So here, Solomon is trying to teach the young person to tap the brakes every once in a while. He says every young person needs to remember that they are individually accountable to God. Remember the judgment, young people, he says. Romans 14:12, so then every one of us shall give account of ourselves to God. Romans 2 reminds us that God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. We are going to stand before the Lord one day and give an account for what we did with the lives that he gave us. 2 Corinthians 5 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Listen to Matthew 12:36. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. We all have an appointment at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, thank goodness to those of us who are in Christ, there is no condemnation. Amen. And we will never be punished or condemned for our sins. Those sins have been separated from us as far as the east is from the west. They've been covered by the blood of Jesus. While the Bible teaches that there's no condemnation for the sins of our youth, I think it does teach that there will be accountability for the sins of our youth, that we will give an answer. Now, for every young person here, you're thinking, that's a long way off, so I don't have to think about it. That's how young people think. Can I just say this? Maybe not. The oldest person in this room is not the oldest person in this room. It's the person who's closest to the judgment. Amen? Because of the brevity of life, the oldest person in this room may well be the youngest person in this room. Judgment may not be that far away. I think what God was doing here is reminding young people of something that we've got to remember. We thrive in relationships that are high love and high accountability. Stay with me here. You raise a young person with all love and no accountability, and you know what you'll get? A spoiled brat is what you'll get. You raise a young person with all accountability and no love, and you know what you'll raise? A rebel. High love with high accountability is a recipe for growth. I want you to think about that. The teachers, the coaches, the pastors, the youth pastors, the people that really made an impact on your life when you were young were the people that loved you a lot and held you to high standards because they believed in your potential, right? Amen. What this passage is reminding every young person is that we are in a high love, high accountability relationship with God. And he has invested too much in our lives to let us just go our own way with no answer. Remembering God means remembering that we will stand before the Lord one day and he will hold us to account. Not only do young people need to remember that we are individually accountable to God, they need to remember this: every choice comes with a consequence. And I want you to zero in on verse 10 because it is an incredibly relevant verse for the days in which we live. He says, therefore, remove sorrow from thine heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. What he means when he says childhood and youth are vanity, he's not saying they're evil. What he means is they're passing away. Remember, that word's like smoke. It's like chasing wind. He means it's transit. Childhood and youth pass away quickly, but you can do some things in your childhood and youth that will have a bad consequence for the rest of your life. He says that there are some sinful choices we can make that will bring sorrow of heart and evil to our flesh. There are choices we can make as young people that will bring sorrow to our hearts and evil to our flesh. Can I give you a translation? Mental and physical illness. When he talks about sorrow of heart in this verse, he is talking about what we would refer to in 2023 as mental illness. Depression, discouragement. You know, the young people in our country are experiencing a mental health crisis right now. And every week there's a new article about it, and I've read several of them. They are facing mental health problems like we have never seen in our history. Those young people need good counseling. They need parents who are present and pay attention to them. They need limits on their social media and mind-numbing video games. They need some fresh air and some hard work. I don't want to trivialize the mental health problems that our young people are facing today, but I think there's an important connection that most of the articles that I've read fail to make. This is the most godless generation in the history of America. All the studies indicate that Generation Z is the most godless generation in the history of our country. And I'm not trying to be trite or trivialize mental health issues, but I'm saying that there is a real connection. Many of the young people in our country have never heard, "What a friend we have in Jesus. All our griefs and sins to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to Him in prayer." They've never heard that they can cast all their cares upon Him, for He cares for them. They've never heard, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus." They've never heard those things. They have a lot of problems, but nowhere to take their problems. The truth of the matter is that mental health can be a challenge for a person with a great relationship with God, who makes great choices. But we are living in a generation that has no relationship with God and makes incredibly poor choices. We have a wounded generation, and they're treating their wounds with premarital sex and alcohol and marijuana and pornography and cutting, and the list could go on and on. We are in a mental health crisis today, but do you realize what's going to happen to these young people when they get into their mid-30s and they start to deal with some of these wounds? We're going to have a mental health catastrophe. They're wounded, and some of their wounds are self-inflicted, but they have no idea where to go for the healing for those wounds. I'm glad I know where to go. How about you? Amen. Here's what Jesus said. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Amen. I'm glad when I was a teenager, somebody taught me the little chorus. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above Him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Somebody taught me. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." The sins of our youth can cause sorrow of heart and evil to the flesh. So remember, young people, for every action there is an equal and opposite reaction. Every choice comes with a consequence. Forgetting God in the days of our youth will bring accountability at the judgment seat and mental and physical illness in adulthood. The Bible says that. Remembering God in the days of our youth allows a young person to enjoy the legitimate pleasures of youth while escaping its dangers. So here's what God is saying. Let the Lamborghini run wide open, but put a set of brakes on it. So when it comes to a crossroad or a hairpin turn, it isn't wrecked. Rejoice in your youth, but remember God. A proverb for the young. Let's notice this, a poem about growing older. Look at chapter 12 and verse 1. "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." And we'll stop here for now, but for the next few verses, Solomon is going to unfold a beautiful poem. A poem that was written for the intention that young people would live for God in their youth. But it's a poem that every older person can identify with. And those of you who are older, you will say a big amen as we study this poem tonight. It gives a vivid description of the aging process. And before we dive into it, let me just say this for a moment. It is fashionable for people in our culture to look down on older people. The media depicts the elderly as weak, dumb, or angry, usually a combination of the three. Did you know that in the Bible, God assigns great honor to senior citizens? Proverbs says, "The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness." And though this passage is honest about the challenges that we face as we age, it treats the aging with great dignity. And I think you'll see that. Look at verse 2. While the moon or the light, or excuse me, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In this verse, he is talking about aging like it's a gathering storm. The sun, the moon, and the stars are darkened. And as soon as one storm ends, it seems like another storm begins. Elderly people face failing health and failing finances and an ever-decreasing circle of family and friends. If I've heard Brother Rigsby say it once, I've heard him say it 100 times, getting old ain't for sissies. And it seems like as soon as one storm clears up, another storm comes on the horizon when you get to that season of life. We can rejoice in this. Thank God we are going to a place of a cloudless day. Amen. In verses 3 through 6, Solomon says that aging is like living in a house that's falling down around you. He says, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble and the strong men shall bow themselves. In this poetic language, the keepers of the house are your arms and hands. And as you get older, they start to shake. The strong men are probably referring to the knees and shoulders that slump and bend with age. He's talking about the fact your body's breaking down. He says, the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out the windows be darkened. The grinders refer to teeth. They didn't have dentures or dentists in Jerusalem. The windows were darkened. They couldn't see. They didn't have glasses either. When they got a cataract, they couldn't just go and have LASIK or have surgery and get it removed. Most of the older people in that culture could not see well, if at all. He says, and the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low. In other words, you can't hear well. You don't hear the noise in the neighborhood anymore. You can't hear men at work threshing wheat. Although I am looking forward to the day when I can no longer hear someone with their blower outside. That will be a great thing. Or maybe the dog barking at 3 a.m. in the morning. It says, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird. He'll rise up early. Teenagers can sleep until noon, but that's a skill we lose as we get older. Old people are up earlier, the before-mentioned bathroom breaks that we talked about. They can't sleep, and it's hard to get back to sleep once they wake up. He says, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. He's talking about your voice. As you get older, your voice starts to quiver. You can't sing and hit that high note, ladies, like you used to be able to hit it. You can't talk as loudly or clearly as you used to talk. Your voice starts to weaken. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fears shall be in the way. Older people are worried about falling. It's a real worry. They don't drive at night. People naturally become more fearful as they get older. Then he says, and the almond tree shall flourish. What's that talking about? Almond trees have beautiful white flowers in the spring. So he's referencing the graying or the whitening of the hair. And I will be thankful if my almond tree flowers and the leaves don't fall out, okay? If I pastor too much longer, the second's going to happen, I can tell you. And he says, the grasshopper shall be a burden. In the beginning of the spring, the grasshopper is jumping and hopping everywhere. That's what he's known for. But by the end of the summer, he loses his hop. He's more like a grass limper. Then he says, and desire shall fail. And you can work that one out for yourself, okay? Hint, there's a host of new pharmaceuticals to help with that problem, okay? Because he goeth to his long home and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed or the golden bowl be broken. Or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. The other descriptions are about aging and growing older. These are descriptions about death. Solomon says, to die is to go to our eternal home. I like the old gospel song that says, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. I like what Tim Lee says. You don't have to go to heaven. You don't have to go to hell, but you can't stay here. We're all passing through. Then he talks about the mourners being around. In our day, we would talk about the morticians and the funeral directors squeezing us for our last dime. He says, death is like the snapping of a silver cord and the shattering of a golden bowl. It's really poetic language. What's he talking about? It probably refers to a decorative lamp that a person hung in their home that was covered in gold and connected to the ceiling or the wall with a beautiful silver cord. Just like we have beautiful lights in our home, they would have beautiful lights in their home that were valuable. But Solomon says eventually the silver cord was snapped. The light was snuffed out. The bowl was broken. A reminder to us that life is both valuable and fragile at the same time. I think it was Edwards in his famous sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, that said that the unsaved hang over the pit of hell, dangling by a spider's web. Life is fragile, isn't it? It's a silver cord that can be snapped at any moment. Then he says, death is like a broken pitcher or a malfunctioning gear at a well for drawing water. The machinery is broken beyond repair. No more life-giving water is yours. Then he reminds us that we came from dust and we will return to dust. This harkens back to the curse that was given in the garden. Man came from the dust, but he was never intended to go back to the dust. When men sinned, they fell under a curse, the curse of death. Can I remind you of something this evening? Jesus suffered that curse for us. As Psalm says, he was laid in the dust of death. Because Jesus took our curse and suffered our death, when we die, our spirit can return to the God who gave it. It's wonderful. So see what Solomon's saying. Old age and death are coming for us all. The silver cord will be severed. What's the point of this poem? It's to young people. He says, don't wait until your hands are weak to try to build something for God with your life. Don't wait until your voice is shaky to sing a song of praise or to declare the gospel. Remember God now, young person. While you still have a strong body and you still have a strong mind and you have an entire lifetime ahead of you to give to the Lord. Remember God while you have a voice that can hit that high note in the choir. While you have a voice, man, that can stand up in Sunday school or behind a pulpit and thunder forth the word of God. Remember God now in the days of your youth. It was the Puritan Charles Bridges who once said, many have remembered God too late, but none too soon. None too soon. So remember God now in the days of your youth. Let's make a few quick words of application. Number one, the secret to enjoying old age is to remember the goodness of God. You really want to enjoy old age? Remember the blessings and goodness of God. You know, folks, if you looked hard enough, you could trace the goodness of God in every day of your life. You could look behind you and see goodness and mercy following you all the days of your life. In spite of the challenges of growing older, God is still good. Amen. And God is still good to you. And there is still plenty to enjoy in the life that God has given you. The secret to enjoying your life as an older person is to remember the goodness of God. Build your entire life around it. Number two, the secret to enjoying youth is to remember the holiness of God. Young people have no problem seeing the goodness in this world. They do have a problem recognizing accountability and consequences. Fish thrive when they accept the boundaries of the water. And we thrive in life when we accept the boundaries of God's commands. We thrive when we remember that we are accountable to God for the life he gave us. That thought that we will stand before God and give an answer keeps us from squandering and wasting our lives. This is not a negative thing. It's an incredibly positive thing. As I remind our young people often, no matter what they tell you in biology class, you are not a nobody going nowhere. You are a somebody going somewhere. Your life has a destination, the judgment. It has a purpose to hear God say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Remember the holiness of God. Remember you will stand before him and it will give meaning and purpose to your life, even in your youth. Number three, life is beautiful and brief. So treasure it accordingly. Make the most out of it. Lastly, life begins and ends with God. He is our maker. He is our judge. We come from God. We are going to God. The only way to enjoy that journey is to invite him to join you in it. The only way to really rejoice in your life is to live a God-centered life. The way to rejoice is to remember. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this passage that has a word for young and old alike. A needed challenge for those who are in the sunset years of their life. It is easy to focus on life's pains and problems, to become a grumbler and a complainer, to forget the many blessings that you have given in the history of our life and continue to give us in the present. My prayer for every older person in this room is that they would keep a sweet spirit, focus on the goodness of God, grateful for the life that you've given. Lord, for the young person, help us to remember our inevitable day at the judgment seat, the urgency of giving our lives to you now, to serving you in the strength of life. Lord, thank you for these needed reminders, and I pray we'll take them with us. Life is a beautiful and brief thing. Help us to make the most of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.